on, keep on, keep striving for this religion that we preach. Keep on, keep on, keep pushing, for nothing's ever right or free.
And welcome to another edition of the Loose and Down International Podcast. Obviously, it's just me and Gav because Alex is too bloody lazy to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. He won't be listening to this anyway. And refreshingly, we have a win to talk about.
That's the only reason why we're recording, right? Because I jokingly sent you a message this morning saying, are we recording today since we can actually talk about a win? Because it's been quite a while, and I don't foresee us talking about a win next week after the City game, so... Might as well take advantage of it now while we can. I mean, weirder things have happened, but I just don't see it.
Oh, I think as people pointed out, so, you know, Man City have got some big games of, some smaller games sandwiched either side of us. So they might rest a few players, which means obviously they'll bring in the reserves, you know, like £100 million Grealish and another couple of £50 million players and everything else for their reserves or their backups.
Yeah, I mean... There was kind of the talk of, you know, they dropped a couple of players against Palace. And you look at the players they dropped, Foden and a couple of others. And you look at the players they brought in. And it's just like, how does that make you? Foden's a great player, but how does
that make you? You saw it in the cup game against us. They had sort of a bench of £250 million worth of talent on the bench. So put that in perspective.
We have a bench with what, a 78-year-old defender who's never played a game.
Yeah. We've got a player on loan from as well who's sort of, you know, he won't make their squad. I don't think he'll ever make their squad. And he's on loan. That's the type of ridiculous situation they've got with what they could have sort of, you know, holding up.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to, that's the one thing I'm looking forward to on Saturday is just the scene, because we're already light on players as it is, and now we lose Kabore obviously as well. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes about it. One thing I will say, and I know we haven't talked about it yet, but I was really impressed with Hashioka against Bournemouth. I don't know we're going to talk about that game, so I'll leave it at that for now.
I was about to say, you love jumping around all over the place. Obviously, I don't bother with the playlist.
We stopped doing run notes a long time ago. I remember sending them out at one point, and I was like, what am I fucking doing? Like, trying to go on in that order was just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it didn't work anyway, so just, yeah, be done with it. So we've had someone say they like the chaotic nature of this podcast. Like, yeah, we'll just turn up, do what you want, improvise, see what happens, and see what random route you wander off in, which is a lot.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
Right, anyway, on to the Bournemouth game, just so we can actually sort of, you know, at least we can start with some kind of vague running order that we don't do, but obvious one, so...
And some positivity.
Yeah, so first off, we looked in trouble. We sort of, you know, had a post saved us twice. We struggled to create anything clear-cut. They didn't get any chance on goal either, but I mean, I think we were under the cosh a bit. I mean, okay, but went in at some 0-0. Second half, we came up a lot more positively. I think had a great save, hit that same post they hit in the first half. I think their manager said the wind direction had made a big difference, which I could actually feel the wind sort of in the stands, but you don't really appreciate how much it affects on the pitch. Because obviously in the stands, you're kind of, it's swirling around a bit and coming to you. But they got a goal out of absolutely nothing, it seemed. It's is it one of those days? But no, we just kept plugging away. And I think two differences made there. Onyedima coming on and Berry coming on.
Yeah. Yeah, the two game changers. I mean, Onyedima came on for Hashioka, who I said I was actually quite impressed with. I thought he played quite well, especially on that right-hand side. He played... It was weird. Look, I was for the first, like, what, even going into the second half, I was trying to make out what sort of formation we were playing. Because it didn't, like... Kabore definitely looked like the right side of a back three, but at the same point, he was very wide on that right hand side. Like he was pretty much on the right
fluid,
back.
I think it was fluid. So it was so Hashioka, so nominally the right wing back, first time he's played that position. And I thought he did okay defensively. Getting forward, he didn't seem to get his crosses in as much. Defensively, I think he did okay. I mean, I saw some rather unkind comment from some commentator who said Hashioka played at right wing back, which at least limited his potential to make mistakes, which I thought that was really, really harsh.
I don't know who that was, but yeah. I disagree.
It was a neutral that came up. I think he was, you know, just scores football games, but some neutrals of, you know, amateur. It's basically us, but worse.
Oh, us, but thinks he has a following. Gotcha. I actually thought, like, I thought Hashioka did really well. As I said, I was trying to make out the formation because it seemed a lot of times he was further forward than Townsend, which was throwing me off because you think right wing back, he's going to be behind Townsend. But a lot of times it looked like he was ahead of Townsend. So that was kind of throwing me off with the formation. I actually disagree. I thought some of his crosses were really, really good. I think what the problem was is that I don't think it's something that with where he's been playing since he came into the side, I don't think it's necessarily something that the other players have grown accustomed to yet. I think if he continues to be able to put balls into the box like that, I think it will definitely suit the likes of Morris, Eli when he comes back, Barkley coming onto the end of them at the edge of the box. Like, some of his crosses were decent. They were really, really good.
I mean, I think basically Hashioka was signed more for next season when obviously Kubori's gone back. So I think he was signed long-term, like Mengi was signed long-term as a development player, who's then turned into one of my most important players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, like, yeah.
I think we discussed this last week, right, is that Hashioka, I don't think anyone at the club expected him to play this season, maybe one or two slight sub-appearances, maybe, but he's had to come in with the injury problems we've had, and just he's had to be pushed into the limelight, and he's had some errors, you know, playing not necessarily in his best position. And that's why I thought it's important to turn around and say on Saturday, I thought he was really good. I thought he was decent. Like, he seemed to tire, and it was the right decision to take him off for Fred. But at the same point, I don't think he did an awful lot wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he did an awful lot wrong, but I think it's basically you needed something else to sort of, you know, get us that goal back, get us the attack.
You needed a goal for the game. You needed to go for the game. You needed an attacking option on the pitch. You needed to go for the game. Yeah, definitely.
Which is what they did. I mean, obviously, Onyedimi comes on. He's kind of more attacking, sort of a bit pacier. Luke Berry playing very, very advanced role and just thinking, right, let's make a nuisance of himself. And I think that was shown by the equaliser. Now, obviously, on the equaliser, John Clark, I think he had this, like, fuck it, I'm going to just start running them. And he did. There was a couple of times before that, but he said run. And then Luke Berry got this fantastic assist by throwing himself a block tackle. Could have gone absolutely anywhere. Came down to Jordan Clark, who said, you know, just finished with absolute aplomb. And I didn't actually realise it was his first Premier League goal. Probably should have done, but I think he got a couple against Man City, so it didn't necessarily go. But that's how you score him, isn't it?
Yeah. And the most important thing as well, the thing that really showed it to me was, that's your first Premier League goal. You should be going and celebrating that and fucking going crazy, you know, especially a player like Clark who's come up through the leagues just like Luton have. From non-league, I think I actually remember playing against them in non-league, Luton did. You know, it should be a great thing, but you look at his reaction, it's like, get that ball, get it to the middle of the park and let's kick this off. We need a winner.
Yeah.
And that just shows the attitude of this whole team right now is like, we're never going to give up. We're not going to stop. You know,
no, I mean, like, that's
point
deductions,
Man City on Saturday.
You're not giving up. Now, that was sort of, I actually had a look at the odds for Man City on Saturday. We're 20-1 to win. The home game, we're 22-1 to win. That's
Oh, the bookies know something.
It's not sort of, well, obviously that's sort of insane odds to win a game, but it was the fact it's sort of, you know, they were more favourites at home than they are when we're playing them at theirs with a huge injury list.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never claim to know. I know how the bookies work, but I'm sure the fact that our game is bang smack in the middle of their two Real Madrid games probably might have something to do with it. But at the same point, you know.
But surely, with
our injury list, you wouldn't expect us to do anything, no matter what the games are between.
No. But I mean, quite clearly, they're sort of looking at it as the major game and thinking, Real Madrid, they can play the reserves, be fine. It's sort of, you know, with a main game they need.
Yeah, sure. Although saying that, like, four in a row, I can guarantee you Pep wants that. You know, I don't know if he wants it as much as he wants another Champions League, but I can guarantee you he wants that fourth Premier League title, which is, you know, between three teams right now.
Yeah, well, I said it's the case. I mean, I'm not going to go into Man City because, to be fair, they spend ridiculous amounts of money, breach multiple rules. It's not particularly exciting football to watch. They score goals, which is very, very clinical into it. But I'm not getting into them too much, but I think we'll go back onto our game because I actually do care about that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, we can see the first one, and it was actually quite amusing. My first time this, you know, Oak Road with the safe standing, you know, and I was about 6 feet away from the Bournemouth fans. So you could see some absolute Muppet with kind of 80-star mullet. He looks like he's basically the Lost Boys actually lost their act and wanted it back. It's that bad. And he was actually giving it. Then we equalised and he suddenly vanished and went very, very quiet for some reason.
It's normally how it works.
Yeah. Interesting. But then we sort of, you know, we kept pushing. And then it's obviously Cordy Woodrow came on. And Cordy Woodrow developed an absolute peach of a cross for Carlson, just a side foot in, who got a bit emotional after, noticed after, not at the time.
Yeah,
The noise when that goal went in, though, that was incredible. The reaction.
Yeah, that whole stadium just erupted. It was like, I think it was one of these things where I can't remember who was on the commentary that I was listening to, but they were talking about the noise inside the stadium, and they were like, it doesn't sound like there's only 11,000 or 12,000 people in here, or however many it was. He said, it sounds like there's 50, 60,000 people in here, you know, and that's the magic of Kenilworth Road, right? Is that it's a small ground, but the atmosphere created inside is it. People always talk about, oh, the fans are the 12th man. In our case, the fans really are the 12th man because they can make it a hostile environment for the opposition and can really help our players and get behind our players and give them that little bit extra energy that they may need, a little bit more motivation that they may need just to get on the end of a ball when their legs are tired and that sort of thing. It's also shown that it's hurt in the past when fans have got on players' backs, but I think it's in its own category now at this point as a ground. I don't think there's anything quite like it. But yeah, the noise coming out of that over my TV speakers was just unbelievable. Fans from minute one to minute 90, whatever, eight was it that he played in the end? Was just
96
magnificent. Yeah, and absolutely magnificent. As you said, for Carlton getting emotion at the end of the game, I think, you know, the run that they've been on, a lot of people are starting to write us off. You know, and to get that win against the side that we spoke about it on last week's podcast, you know, we both thought we could get something from the Bournemouth game. And when you look at it, a point would have been okay, it would have been fine, because Bournemouth, as you were talking about during the commentary, I didn't notice at the time, apparently we're within touching distance of European places, you know, which would be a magnificent achievement for them. And you think at that point, well, maybe a point's okay. This team is doing really well, you know?
I think some normal circumstances, a point's okay. I think the circumstance we're in, the three was probably quite vital to get. If you got a point, it'd be something completely different than saying, yeah, I know we can sit in there, but it was a three was important to get there. Now, I mean, obviously, just back in the atmosphere, I think there's a picture there sort of Carlton celebrating. And in front of the crowd, I think there was one person with his phone out taking pictures. Okay, he gets slated, but you compare that to a normal, you compare that to Man United. Man United would be like a fucking photo shoot.
I mean, you're always going to get that somewhere, you know. I just.
But it's rare at our ground. That's what I'm saying.
It's rare at our ground, but you're going to get it everywhere, and especially now with the league you're in, especially if we stay open, you start getting more international fans. Like, I seen a game. I can't remember what game I was watching, but I was watching a game over the weekend. I actually think it might have been the Tottenham Forest game on Sunday. And there's a bunch of people in the front row taking pictures of someone taking a corner or a throw or something like that. And they're on their phones and they're taking a picture. Like, I've never got it just because, you know, you go there to enjoy the game. But at the same point, you know, international fans... And I can speak for this as an international fan. How many times are you going to get to games in a lifetime. Well, it's not cheap. And it's not cheap, you know, to get to games. Like, you're talking flights, hotels, tickets to the game, especially with Luton. Tickets to the game are like fucking gold dust. How many times are you going to do it? Like, realistically. So I'm not saying I'm condoning taking pictures. What I am saying is, though, I understand it a little bit, because you want memories.
Well, you get that. I mean, I think basically if your first reaction when you get a 90-minute winner is to whip your phone out, record it. I mean, there was going back a couple of years, I think it was Man United fan, or could have been Southampton fan or something, in Portsmouth. They got a, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was at Portsmouth anyway. But there was a goal that went in, and this person, everyone else is celebrating. You actually saw him on the video. Watch, get his phone out, turn it around, turn on selfie mode, points at himself, and then start celebrating, filming himself. I think that is just wrong. That is wrong on every single level. And you got the right to say for that.
And that's someone looking to put that on social media or something afterwards. Like, that I don't agree with. Like, that, again, I'm not condoning the 90th minute. The, like, hold it. It would, put it this way, it wouldn't be me. If we'd scored a 90th minute winner in a game that we realistically probably needed 3 points from, I think the last thing on my mind would be taking my phone out of pocket to celebrate. You know, yeah.
I was illustrating more that it's a fact of photo. There's only one person, which, you know, most games, there's a load more than that. So I was just saying, right, it's not a reaction our fans have. So that one person just ruined it slightly, but it was generally don't. But I think, okay, fine. If you take the photo, if you still have your phone out, if you record the corner or something, I can see it there. But taking your phone out in the middle of celebrations, right, let me just record the celebration quickly. No, 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 no.
Enjoy the celebration.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy the celebration, because God knows when it's God knows when you're going to be able to do it again. So just enjoy the celebration.
Well, hopefully Brentford. Well, actually, fuck it. Hopefully Saturday.
It's not going to be Saturday, Nick. It's not going to be Saturday. I admire your confidence, but it's not going to be Saturday.
It's absolute blind optimistic confidence in hope. It's not.
Hey, I said in this podcast last week 2-1. Now, in fairness, I got the game wrong, but we won 2-1.
Yeah, we said 2-1 before, but it's right. So obviously that game, it's kind of, you know, it puts us level in Forest, who then, well, lost at Tottenham. Thank you, Tottenham. Well, it's so good to see they actually didn't get all Spursy with that one.
Yeah,
obviously behind in goal difference. Now, in that game, Garth Crooks named Carlton Morrison's team of the week.
Let's talk about
and I think this comment's been made by many people before, but he said, "But I said at the start of the season, Luton's struggle is going to be scoring enough goals to stay up. But my gosh, they're giving it a good go staying up, which is better than being relegated by Christmas." So it was almost praising, but. What way does he think? I mean, I think we've scored more than nine other teams in the Premier League. I think it is.
No. So it's like this right now. There are 10 other teams in the Premier League, along with Luton, who have scored the same or less goals than us. So scoring has never been a problem. Was it 17 or 18 games?
18 games.
18 games consecutive scoring in the league. Scoring's never been a problem. Defensively, it's been a problem, because defensively, I think we're down there with the bottom teams, which you would expect with the team coming up, you know. But scoring's never been a problem. And look, here's the thing: Gareth Crooks has made no secret of the fact that he would love us to go down. He's a twat, but he would love us to see us go down. I don't know why. I don't know what his hatred for the club is. I honestly don't. My problem right now is not as much with Gareth Crooks anymore. It's with his employees. Garth Crooks, Garth.
I thought I'd bring it up since you just sized it up. So it's late me for some, you know, sort of saying Andy Townsend.
Andy Townsend last week. Okay, yeah, okay, that's your.
Yeah, so you're getting this week. So okay. Gareth Crooks,
Garth, whatever. My problem now is with his employers. His employers are actively letting him go online and spread false narratives. They're allowing him to spread, what is it called, fake news. They're letting him spread that.
You actually have a look. He's basically, it's his kind of being an MO for years and years and years. It's almost like this. So right, here's their comedy show. Let Garth Crooks do it to have the most obscure opinions. I think he plays to it as well.
But it's not. If you turn around and say Luton are going to go down this season and give me facts, like they've let him the third or fourth most goals in the league or whatever it may be, if you give me facts, I'll think, okay, you've got an argument. When you come out with absolute bullshit like that, that's not even true, that's literally a false narrative, you should be held accountable and you should get ready for the onslaught that's going to come your way, but your employer should be held accountable too. Like, you can cause problems with that.
He knows is basically, I mean, he's not a serious pundit anymore. They don't let him near any of the main programs. I think, go on, have your weekly column, put this up there and see how many people can get annoyed by opinions. And he probably plays to that as well.
But that's a fan's job. Like, if that was a fan going on and saying that, I probably wouldn't be as mad. I'll be honest with you. I probably wouldn't be as mad. I'd just laugh it off and go, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Now, Crooks also doesn't know what he's talking about, but this guy's a paid pundit. I'm assuming he's getting paid well by the BBC for spreading complete utter falsities.
He is only doing insect column. They don't actually let him near TV broadcasts now.
But they did at one point, and I'm sure it's probably he's been grandfathered out to a certain degree. It was like, right, we're going to let you do this now, and that'll be your little area, you know? But at the same point, like, he's representing your brand. And this is the thing, like, I asked you the other day, is the BBC still paid for by the British public's TV license?
Okay,
the British public are paying for Gart Crooks to give falsities in his column. Whether you're reading it or not, you're paying for it.
You pay for a lot that you wouldn't agree with on the BBC or watch necessarily. I mean, I don't watch EastEnders, but I pay for that. So,
but EastEnders is not claiming to be a serious program. EastEnders is not claiming to be True Life. It's not claiming to be a documentary.
It's the same principle. I think we're in danger of here getting into a political thing, which is thinking that we're not doing that.
I can get political. Like, I can turn around and, like, my political view is completely aside. Gart Crooks is the English version of Fox News. 70% of what he talks is complete and utter bullshit. And that's been a proven fact. That's not me and my political views or anything. That's a proven fact. 70% of what they air on Fox News has been deemed as not actual news.
Where's the 30% that actually is news?
Beats me, but I would have said more.
I mean, I don't watch it often, but I've been in Mexico. I've seen Fox News, and I just looked and thought, oh my God, this is the sun on steroids on TV.
And that's Gart Crooks.
He's a panto villain.
He's a bad panto villain.
Oh, no, he isn't.
Oh my God. Oh yes, yeah.
Make your fucking bad joke for you.
Oh my God. But yeah, my problem right now is whether you agree with me or not is with the BBC. The BBC need to be held accountable for someone spreading falsities, pure falsities. That's easily like, this is not something that I've spent hours researching. Go on, just look at the table. Look at goals for. You can count the amount of teams that have the same as or less goals than Luton. It's really easy. It took me 2 minutes. It would take him even less, because I'm sure he has someone that would be able to look up them stats for him.
I was about to say, are you actually crediting with intelligence?
Apparently, I shouldn't. Because the guy is a complete and utter fucking moron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... If he'd have turned around and said Luton's defensive frailties will cause them, you know what? I don't agree with it, but I would have to say he has a point. But to turn around and say we won't score,
look up Garth Crooks and some, you know, anything else, and he'll come up with stuff about Summers, even going back 5-6 years. Summers' absolutely most bizarre thing is now his MO. It's right. Here's this person who we're going to put there to put. I mean, I think. Over the season, he put his goalkeeper as man of the match team because they played a pass that almost led to a goal. He's just I don't know if he realizes it's been played, but it's kind of almost like, okay, here's our pet panto villain. Let's stick him up there and let's laugh and see what he says.
It's horrible. It's a horrible look for the BBC.
I think you're getting way, way too involved in the BBC.
I'm really not. It's a horrible, horrible look for them. Horrible look.
Yeah, but every channel has shit pundits.
Yeah, it's just that the BBCs are paid by your money.
Yeah, but Sky is also probably paid by a lot of people's money. So, you know,
at about... fair, I'm sure. But you're literally paying your TV license for BBC.
Yeah, BBC Radio.
It'd be like if an RTE guy came out and said this. I'd crucify RTE just as much as I'm crucifying BBC. Because the Irish public pay their TV license, and the majority of that goes towards RTE. And it's one of the worst stations I've ever seen in my entire life, but it goes toward RTE. If one of their opponents came out and said this...
I love that you're getting so offended by stuff that you actually don't pay for, and yet you're then...
I'm offended on the English people's behalf, which is something that I never thought I'd say. I never thought I'd utter the words, I feel bad for the English people paying your money for this absolute garbage. But there you go.
It's just a web thing anyway. Right. Before you went on this rant, a rather bizarre one about the BBC, which very, very strange.
We're gonna be cancelled next week.
I don't think we're funded by this. If we're funded by the BBC, then I want my cut now.
The BBC tried to cancel the Sex Pistols, right? Way back in the day. They're going to try to cancel us, Nick. You're closer. I don't care. I don't think they can touch me. What's your address, Nick? What's your address so they can get it right?
It's in California.
You wish.
No, I fucking don't.
That bald head would never last over here.
Why would I want to be in California? It's full of you.
I don't know. Sunshine, nice weather all year round.
Americans.
Supermodels.
Shootings.
Celebrities.
Trump.
We're getting far too political in this podcast.
You sauce it.
Yeah, let's get back to the games. Let's get back to the actual football. I don't mind talking about Crooks some more if you want to, but
we're getting. But we'll get into the points deductions now. Now it's obviously Everton after breach of spending $337 million or breaching in 3 years. They got deducted 10 points. It got reduced to 6 points. Then Forest came in and got fined 4 points. Because 2 were reduced because they didn't make a fuss about it, and now they're appealing. Everton have now come in, and because they've done repeat offenders, they're down to 2 points. So you've gone, right, 10, 6, 4, 2. You know where this is going, Man City, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's already talk about it, right? And there's already talk about them doing away with PSR point deductions and trying to find a different way around it.
A luxury fine. What's that going to do?
Luxury tax. It doesn't do anything in the NBA. I can tell you that right now.
No, I mean, that's the right luxury tax. So, right, oh, you've way overspent. So, we're going to fine you 10 million quid or Haaland's wages from me for a month. So, yeah. That will teach you. And we'll redistribute it to the lower leagues, which, of course, I won't. Not properly anyway.
And I mean, that's the problem. Like, you're going to have teams like City, you know, and like Newcastle now as well. I think the beneficiary of this more than anyone is going to be Newcastle, because if this luxury tax comes in, we're going to fine you 10 million, let's say, as you said, for overspending. You won't have a problem paying an extra 10 million. Like, I'm going to spend 100 million on a player, an extra 10 million. This is signing. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just going to make those clubs that are richer even more powerful. The luxury tax doesn't really work in the NBA, from what I can see. It doesn't really stop teams from spending the money that they want to spend, especially if they feel that they're contenders. And as you said, the money realistically going to lower leagues, I mean, is it really, or, you know, is it going to go back into the Premier League in some way, shape, or form? And here's the thing, like, you get into the point deductions. As you said, you can see where we're going. It went from 10 to 6 to 4 to 2. It'd be nothing for City. I can honestly see why Everton and Forest would be pissed. because, as you said, you can see where it's going, and they're the clubs being held as being used as an example. But at the same point, it's their own fault.
For example,
at the same point, it's their own fault. Like, they knew about these rules, you know. I don't have any sympathy for them. I can understand them, and I can understand where they're coming from, but I have no sympathy for them. You know, I actually think Everton's points deduction for the latest one probably should have been more. You deducted them 10 points. They got down to 6 on review. They've now done it. They did it again, and you're finding them less points than you did the first time. How is that a deterrent?
I think Everton's excuse is the fact that sort of Ukraine meant that they lost Russian sponsorship money. So basically, they were sort of, you know, relying on dodgy overseas Russian money who then invaded the country. So they should be exempt from getting points. No, fuck it. If you get in debt with
money from Russia,
exactly. Get in bed with the devil, get what you want.
Yeah. And like, I just don't understand that. And Forest, you know, with their appeal, like, I'm just wondering now, are they going to get the 2 points tacked back on, you know, because now they're not cooperating anymore, you know, or will they get it reduced even further to 2?
I would say probably what the Premier League are playing, if it goes to appeal, is the fact when it comes to the end of the season, the appeal wouldn't be relevant.
You're spot on. That's exactly what they're looking for. That's exactly what the Premier League is looking for. They're looking for a way out. They're looking to not be the bad guys in this situation, but unfortunately, they already are. Because as I said, I can understand Everton and Forest's Everton Forest fans being pissed off because they don't have the money that City do to spend on lawyers to keep dragging this out. Therefore, they get the point deduction.
Yeah, because they spend it all on players.
Yeah. Or in Everton's case, on trying to build a new stadium.
Oh, no. It's a point. They did not spend 337 million quid trying to build a new stadium.
They didn't, but there's certain money that went towards the new stadium that obviously when they lost their investment,
without the statement, they would still be outside the PSL anyway.
Yeah, they would. I don't think they'd be as far outside of it, but they'd still be outside of it. But
okay, so they're still committing offence, and they got 2 points. So how much?
I think Forrest's one is just the weirdest one. You know, they went over it. They could have easily got back within the limits and not get any point deductions by selling. Was it Johnson, Brennan Johnson? But they didn't because they were like, no, we're going to hold out to the end of the season, and you know. We'll stay in the Premier League. We'll be able to get more money, and we'll sell them then. That's like if I owe someone money, I'm not able to turn around and go, look, 6 months' time, I'm gonna have more money, so I'll pay you then. No, I want my money now. You know.
I mean, the only slight thing I put on that one, say, right, if they sold them there, right, can we sell them for 20 million, or we can sell them for 48 in 6 months' time? It's actually more sensible business thing to sell him for, you know, 6 months on 48.
No, yeah, it is for Forest. And but for the people that you owe the 20 million to, they're still getting 20 million now or in 6 months' time, no matter what.
Well, it depends. They got the 20 million, otherwise, they could have gone down, gone to administration. It's like Sheffield United last season,
and you couldn't have got the money at all. And that's realistically what it comes back to is that,
yeah,
if, I mean, if Forest had done this, they could have gone down.
Nice the point of going to administration potentially if they hadn't gone up. Now, obviously, you've got to be an absolutely batshit crazy, so, you know, debtor to say, right, oh, well, call the debt now, rather than, so we might get 10p in the pound, rather than wait for them to go up and get 100 billion to actually get our full money. That's what they've got to be careful of. But it just comes down to the PSR rules and thinking, right, there's some blatant overspending going on here. And also, the points that should be made up as they go along. I mean, it's just thinking, right, surely it'd be right. Breach it by this amount, this percent, this many points. Breach by this amount, this many points. No appeal, job done. Everyone knows exactly where they are there. Clear, obvious. Not this chuck it around to various different, sort of, you know, committees and say, right, what do you think on this one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would be easier if it was all laid out, you know, and this is, you know what your punishment is going to be. But realistically, then, would it really, like, I've seen this talked about the other day, like, there's talk of Villa being one of the next people hit with PSR, you know. And if point deductions are,
Leicester will be if they come up.
Leicester, yeah. Villa are in around there. And it was kind of talked about, you know, if you're Villa, and I didn't know this, but apparently Villa have some decent money coming into the club at this point. If you're Villa, do you sell a player like, let's say, an Ollie Watkins to stay within the financial rules? Or do you keep Ollie Watkins, take a four-point deduction, or in this case, what looks like to be a two-point deduction for next season? I keep Ollie Watkins and keep it, get a two-point deduction. It depends on the team as well, you know. Like, you'll know what your punishment's going to be, and you can kind of weigh that out and then go, well, no, I'm not selling them. I'm going to take the two-point deduction because I believe that with that player, I can reach this level and therefore get this amount of money.
If you've got the punishment set out, you know what they're going to be, then you can take that gamble. And that's sort of...
But for the bigger clubs, it's not a gamble. It's a gamble for the smaller clubs. It'd be a gamble for the teams to come up or teams like us. But it wouldn't be a gamble for the likes of a City or Villa or United. Actually,
it could be, depending on if you say, right, how much you overspend. So, for example, at City, if they say, right, if you overspend them by this much, you're going to get 20 points in the season. It's not going to relegate them, but what it could do is knock them out of the Champions League places. Then they think that's going to take that seriously.
They'll take that seriously. But... The thing with City is, do they realistically need the money? Like, most teams, when they get into that top four, the Champions League money is a big thing. You know, like even bigger teams like Liverpool need Champions League money. Arsenal need Champions League money. United need Champions League money. Tottenham, Villa need or would like Champions League money. Do City really need Champions League money?
When it comes to City, when they're trying to compete for that, it's not the Champions League money, it's the prestige, because you're not in the Champions League. You've got players who are not going to want to play for you because they want Champions League football. And so City, it's going to go there. It makes recruitment harder, so it actually doesn't push it harder as well.
Yeah, see, I don't see that with City. Like, how long are you pushing? You're pushing them out of Champions League football for one season, realistically, by deducting them 20 points. If I'm a player, I look at that and go, they're out of Europe for one season. I can go there. The next season, I'm going to be playing Champions League football. I'm realistically challenging for a Champions League.
I'm not playing there. I'm off. I'm going to go to Madrid. I'm going to play there for a year and then see what happens.
With City, I just don't see that happening. Like, if it was like, the thing is, if it's a team that falls out of the top four and can't then get back into the top four, I could understand it. Like at Tottenham, I could understand players at that point turn around saying, we're off. You know, if the roles were reversed kind of thing and was Tottenham, I could definitely see players going, we're off. Because we don't know when we're going to break back into the top four again. But with City, I don't see that, because I think, yes, they'll be out of Europe for one season. And yes, they'll lose the prestige of that. And I get all that, but they'll be back into the season after. And I don't think that'll have a massive impact on players wanting to come to City.
But a player's got a fairly short career anyway, so it might say, right, I can go to you, but you're not in the Champions League, or I can go to Bayern, I can go to Real Madrid, etc., go to a PSG, and actually get Champions League football, have just as much chance on that one, and then it's if I want to, because of player power, they can move on at the end of the season, after they've had a tilt, or they can stay.
It does make if it's an older player, I totally understand it, not wanting to go to a city, but if you're buying younger players and... The way City have been doing it recently, you know, buying younger players and not really developing them because they're buying them from other teams that they're already playing, but buying younger-ish players, are you really, like, an older player I could definitely turn around and see going, I'm not taking a chance, you know. I want to play Champions League football. But on a younger player, like, you're losing that 1 year of what you probably have 10 years left in you. But I don't see it. I just don't see it affecting City as much as I would see it affecting the United.
Okay. I'm trying to get away. So, if you succeed by this amount, it's going to be this many points that will not only knock you out the Premier League places or the Championship places, it's going to actually relegate you effectively.
That would be more damning for a City.
Yeah. I mean, they come that straight back up, but that's then 2 years before you get Champions League football. That's a long
time. That would be more damning for City just because. You go down to the Championship, and although you have the money to keep all the players around and get you back up, how many of them are realistically going to want to play at Championship level? That's more of a thing.
So if you're serious about PSR, especially Mountain Breaches, you look at something like that. They won't do it because Man City can afford better boroughs and they bottle it. But that's what you need to do.
They can't afford to lose City from the Premier League. The Premier League can't afford to lose City from the Premier League.
Oh, I think I think the fans of most Premier League clubs would be quite happy to lose them. Actually,
apart from City. I think every other fan of every other team will be happy to go see it, boy. Enjoy your year in the Championship.
I mean, to be honest, I used to be against the European Super League. Now I'm just thinking. Right, okay. So if the top four clubs want to fuck off joining the European Super League, fine, off you go. Play it there. You're not playing in any English competitions. It's players, whether you're eligible selection or not internationally, that's a different thing. But right, you go enjoy the European stuff. See how you get on. We'll actually get on with the proper football here.
So it was the overlap, I think it was, and you were talking about this. The Super League wasn't actually supposed to be they would leave the Premier League. They wanted the Super League to be basically the alternative to Champions League, but they wanted it to be a point where the Super League games would be played on a Saturday, which meant that if they were supposed to be playing in the Premier League on the Saturday, the Premier League game would be moved to midweek. So basically, you'd be screwing over the other 14 teams, is it? Because they wouldn't be midweek games anymore. The like Champions League games are. They'd be played on a Saturday or a Sunday, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, whatever. You know, they'd be the main games. But they wouldn't actually leave the Premier League. So realistically, the clubs would be gaining the Premier League money still, and then going and playing and gaining even more money. So you would see it would cause an even bigger
That's why they like it. I would say, right, if they want to go and do that and go and join the Super League, that's fine. But you join the Super League, you are out of the league structure. That's it. You can fuck off into that one. You're done there. Good luck with it.
So your problem then is that the six teams who leave are probably the six biggest teams in regards to being able to sell your rights for the Premier League around the world. Well, five. Tottenham's not a big team. But you would see for a certain amount of time until you could build newer teams, you would see viewership around the globe fall. You would see your sponsorship monies go down because those five teams, I'm not counting Tottenham, they're not a big team. Those five teams aren't there. They're not part of that package. So you wouldn't get as much in sponsorship deals.
But who gets seen most of that money?
No, yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. Like they're seeing that most of that money. But as I'm saying, for a period of time, you would see a drop off in the amount of sponsorship money coming in, which means that, you know, you would have to build new teams up. You know, it'd be like starting a new league and having to build those teams up and get their followings up. And then you'd also be competing realistically with the Super League, who would have to already have these ready-made giants of the game, you know, and you're fighting against sponsorship.
I think the rest of it would actually be quite good for the rest of football. You just said you're going to have less money going there, which means your wages aren't going to be quite as high. You're going to have players going to that one, fine, you're in a co-structure. Now, whether we get selected for international stuff, it's that's different. So it's a closed structure on that one. You've got more competitive leagues. So yes, got less money, less stupid money floating around there. So less money to flow down, but the money's not flowing down anyway. So it's more competitive. You don't get this fucking closed shop doing it that way. So if they want to do it, go and do it, but just do it and you're on your own. Don't be afraid of losing the money from fucking Liverpool or Man City. Man City are actually quite arsefully creative with the money anyway.
But this is the thing, the Premier League are worried about it because they're the teams that realistically are bringing them in their sponsorship deals.
We're in the Premier League. Would you be worried about it?
No, because I'm a Luton Town fan. But if you're looking at a casual... For instance, the games are starting to get shown on NBC now over here instead of USA, instead of on Peacock app. They're getting shown on NBC a lot of times. Now, the reason for that is they're trying to grow the sport. You know, but you look at the games that are shown on NBC and it tends to be the bigger games. It tends to be the City Arsenals, City Liverpools, Liverpool United, stuff like that. Very rarely will you get the lower end of the table teams. They'll tend to stay on USA or on the Peacock app. So what and the reason behind that is they want to try grow the game. They know the best way to grow the game is by those bigger teams, because the hope is you see this game on a Saturday or Sunday or whatever on NBC, and then the next weekend you're scrolling through the TV and you see on USA that Luton's playing Bournemouth, let's say, and you're going to go, oh, you know what, I'm going to watch that. I enjoyed that last game I'm going to watch that. And the hope is that you come back week after week after week. Then you sign up for the Peacock app and they get money through that. That's what their hopes are.
Right. Hang on. The US had the World Cup in 1994. They've got it again next year, which is why they get it actually 2026 is the next one. Why they get it twice in actually a relatively short length of time for World Cups is beyond me. If it didn't take off in 1994, then they've got it again. I don't really think it's going to, so, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Is that one you're saying, right? So I'm doing this. So you're saying, right. I mean, digressing slightly, but NBC is showing the big games, giving the bigger clubs more money. They're just creating even more divide. No, if you're going to create that wealth divide, they can just go cast them adrift. If they want to be cast adrift, leave it to the proper fans.
It's so NBC is paying for the whole Premier League. It's just that they're looking at viewership. Like they own USA Network. They own the Peacock app. So they're showing every single Premier League game, every single week. They are the sponsorship rights for it in the USA as of right now. They're showing every game. The reason why they're putting on the bigger games on NBC is not, you're not getting more sponsorship money from that. They're just moving the game from a USA to an NBC to try to get more viewerships, to try to get more people's eyes on it, and then try to get more people's eyes on USA and get the app and whatnot. That's ultimately what they're looking to do. It's not like they're still paying the same amount of sponsorship every year. It's just that they're looking at going, if we can get more viewerships in this and this, then we can get more from ads and whatever else that they can sell during those games. That's okay, ultimately what they're looking at.
Absolutely fuck that model. This is our country, our football. We'll play it the way like. If people want to buy it, that's fine. But if they want to dispute it there. And if it gets down to, I mean, this comes to the whole Game 46 stuff yet again. Yet more fucking bollocks. It's just no, no, no. Keep it back. Keep it football. Keep it simple, right? If you can actually compete on your own merits or everything else, fine. If you need to go and join off some Super League or something, no. It needs to be the Championship, Champions League, where you've got about five different chances. If you get knocked out one competition, you've got another couple of parachutes, no. It's absolute fucking bollocks.
But I get 3 p.m. kickoffs on a Saturday, do you? Without your dodgy stick?
I have no dodgy stick. <Good morning>.
I think that's it, Nick. We've gone for like 40-odd minutes, and I honestly can't remember what we talked about apart from Bournemouth. I know I called Gareth Crooks a cunt.
No, I saw the Bournemouth game. I was there behind the goal. It's fine.
There you go. How did you get a ticket? Connections.
Actually, no, just membership on that one, because basically the Oak Road's now got some, become sort of, you know, safe standing, which means there's extra tickets, which means if you can time it right, they get released in a separate set.
There you go. Nick knows your ins and outs, people. Get in touch with Nick. A Hatter Nick on Twitter.
No, you can see
it's not Twitter anymore. It's X. Sorry, Elon Musk has come after me now.
I don't think they're that important.
Our 60 listeners say different, Nick.
Oh, 16?
60. 6-0. 60. I know. I was shocked too.
Jesus Christ. Are you streaming this 59 times?
Pretty much. 58. We have one other viewer. That's it, Nick. I'm ending the recording.
Okay. See you later.